Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing today? Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing today? Good, good. Okay, it's okay. I'm a little bit sleepy myself. All right. Let's get right into it because I know we don't have a lot of time. So I just want to just share what's in my heart. And I was just thinking about what message to preach. But anyways, before I babble on, let's just start. And I just want to start with the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5. We're all familiar with the verse. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Some translations even say that you can't do anything. Okay? Heavenly Father, we just come before you, O Lord. Father God, I just pray that let it be you who speaks, O Father, and nothing of me, O Lord. Let my flesh die and let your will be done, O God. And as we speak, Father God, I pray that let us be able to know your will and your heart more than ever before, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as you guys know, some of us are going to mission fields and, you know, people are screaming names. Oh my gosh, these guys are going to go to the field and all of this. But as exciting as it is, it's actually quite nerve-wracking and stuff. Actually, I was actually just thinking to myself the other day, I was like, okay, this is getting real. You know, we bought the tickets. You know, at first it was just like, most likely it's not going to happen. But, you know, you have the desire to go. But now, once you buy the ticket, you know, it becomes so much more real, right? Anyhow, I was actually pondering about when I go there, like, will I be useful? Am I just going to go there like a vacation, come back? So tell people, you know, oh, I went to this country, you know. Is that what I'm going to do? And I really didn't want to do that, right? So I was getting anxious, and one day I went to bed, and I had this dream. Praise God. I really pray it's not a vision. And in this dream, I was going to a village, and there was, like, this elderly lady there, and there were two of my friends. You guys don't know them. One is Michael John Lista. The other one is Emmanuel Arthur. And anyhow, so Mike actually goes up to the lady first, and, you know, she looks at him, and he smiles, and he starts, like, doing his dance and all of this. I don't know what he's doing, you know, and you know, she's really captivated by what he's doing, and, you know, Mike does his testimony. He's crying, she's crying, and I'm not crying because I heard it before, and but, you know, then right after that, you know, she's not convinced. Then she looks at Emmanuel, and, you know, he sings a beautiful song. I think, like, you know, everyone is just, like, so captivated, and then he preaches the gospel, and, you know, but she's just not convinced. And then she's believing, she's, you know, happy to hear the good news, and then she looks at me, and I had nothing to offer. I had no special skills, nothing. There was nothing that I had, no talents. I didn't know what to say or whatsoever. So I just stood there and waited, all of them staring, especially, I don't know, Mike was staring really hard. And it was just so scary. I just woke up at night and I was like, oh my gosh, I just hope this doesn't happen, Lord. So I started researching. I started researching, and I was like, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? What does it mean to evangelize, right? Before I go further, have you guys ever had biryani late at night? Good. And then, you know, like, they put so much MSG and salt, you wake up at night wanting to drink water. No? Yeah, me neither. Anyways, if you guys see me drink water, it's just because I'm thirsty, okay? So anyhow, so I was just praying about it, and I'm like, Lord, tell me what to do. What is it that I want to do? So I was, like, listening to some preaching, some messages, and so on, and I felt like God was talking to me, right? Excuse me. Lord was talking to me through some messages, some scriptures, and I was reminded of this story, right? A few years back, my brother-in-law was diagnosed with a tumor. He had a brain tumor that was so bad that it was so deep in his brain, they said they can't operate on it, right? And it's so bad, they told him, like, you know, you have a few months, most. It was terrible news. Doctors actually said there's nothing they could do. It was just right here at Sunnybrook. Sunnybrook was known for the best, right, for neurological surgeries and tumors and so on. And they said there's not much we can do because it's so deep. If they go into operate, most likely things will go really bad, so we're not going to do anything. And at this moment, he was not saved. Their family wasn't saved. They're from a Hindu background. And I really wanted to share the love of God. And, you know, I really believed that God can do something. So I looked him we looked at him. I remember Keisha and I were at the, like, you know, at the hospital, and we just knelt and we just started to pray. I was, you know, we as hard as I can. You know, I did everything. I recited all the scriptures. I was on my knees and I'm praying. I was really pushing hard, and I'm like, Lord, you have to pull through. And you know, there are tears coming, you know, boogers, whatever, like everything was rolling, and I'm like, Lord, I have laid all my supplication, my prayers, everything at your feet. And I, you know, when you believe in something with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you're just like, something's about to happen. I really did, right? And I just believe that he's just going to walk out of that door, slow motion, and, you know, everything is good. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And the story continues. But at that moment, you realize there's something in you, right? Like, you want to do things, that urge, like, you want to help this person. But end of the day, it's up to God. He's the one who does it. Story continues on. A few days later, I approached a pastor who I was very close with. It was a Tamil pastor who was in the community. And I told him, I'm like, is it okay if you can come and pray with my brother-in-law? That would be amazing. So he comes. He doesn't pray for him right away. He tells him about the good news. He tells him, you know, whatever, you know, Jesus loves you, blah, 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 died on the cross. We all are sinful nature. And, you know, if he goes, you know, you just want to make sure that we see you again. He shares the gospel. He accepts Jesus Christ right on the spot. Faith would have it, that night, God actually, he does a miracle. He gets, the tumor actually goes away. And it was like mind-blowing, right? And I was like, and his prayers were so small. Lord, if it is your will, and like, you know, Isabel, if it's your will, like, let the healing come and so on. And he gets healed. And I was just so turned out. And like, you know, I was just like, Lord, I like to believe that I warmed it up, you know, with my tears. But I know it's not me. But that story made me realize, you know what? It is not us who do or whatever. It's really the will of God. And I think that's what we think about evangelism. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we can do some stuff with our own might, with our own strength. But God really expects us to just show up. He tells us, come, spread the gospel. Go, go. And rest of it is up to him. Right? John 6, verse 63, it says that the Spirit goes alone, gives eternal life. Sorry, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplish nothing. I'll read it one more time. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. The human efforts accomplish nothing. Actually, reading that was so peaceful for me. I was like, I felt like I didn't have to outdo Mike and Emma, or like, you know, I had to perform or something, you know, just, oh, you know, I have to tell them a story. I have to great, you know, share this great testimony or whatever. I remember when I was really young, I was at a youth ministry, and I think it was Sage and some other like leaders at the time. They were giving their testimony, and I was the last one to go. After, like, nothing crazy happened in my life at that time, and I felt the need to, like, kind of boost a little bit of my story. And, you know, and right after that, I was like, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I really didn't mean to. But anyhow, it's that feel to, you know, I learned my lesson to go first in testimonies and not last. But it was just that pressure of, you know, having to perform, to do something. And that's not what God wants, right? And, you know, when Bible talks about people who are not saved, right? Right away, I just want to say that the greatest movement on earth is to follow Christ and to move forward. And it's growing. We may look at the church in the Western side and say, oh, the church is dying and so on. But that's not the case all around the world. It is growing rapidly. The underground churches are forming. Actually, if you go to downtown Toronto, never like before, the gospel is being preached tenfold. After COVID, there's been a revival. There's been people going out. Churches are coming together to be able to preach the gospel, to spread the good news. And there's that awakening. There's a calling. There's a pressure. There's a type of, like, you know, a need that's forming. And I just don't want our church to fall back. I want us to be at the front of the vision. I want us to be going forward to take that fire and, you know, move forward. And, you know, when we look back, we're part of such a great movement. Right? And anyhow, when Bible talks about the ones who have not been saved, when we ourselves were, Bible talks about people being blind, deaf. Sometimes it even speaks about people are dead. right? We can all recite scriptures that says that. First Corinthians says that the natural man can't understand the spiritual things. To understand evangelism, we have to understand that it is a miracle. It is a miracle that's taking place. The dead man comes alive. The spiritual man comes alive. And think about it for one second, right? Hypothetically, what if today we all gather together and I was like, guys, let's just pray together. And we decide we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to raise one dead person from the morgue, right? What would you do? We're like, we're going to pray over this person and they're going to raise from the dead. What would you do? Would you gather the best prayers in church? You're going to call the worship leader? You're going to call somebody you know who has like an amazing testimony? Or would you contact the biggest church in the world or whatever? We can all come together and we can gather on our feet and we can pray and whatever, but then it's really God that moves. Sometimes we don't evangelize, we don't talk about God because we feel the fear of rejection. We feel that, you know what, maybe people are not going to listen, maybe nothing will happen. A lot of the times we pray for people and we wonder, like, if there's a healing that's going to happen. You know, I prayed before, it didn't happen, maybe it won't happen. The thing is, we don't have to worry about that. God just asks us to pray for the sick. He does the healing. He's the one who changes lives. He's the one who brings them to the Lord. He's the one who softens their heart. There is a purpose. And this is such a great joy to be part of it, to be at the front, to just speak the gospel and to share, right? So anyhow, I was on YouTube one day, and I heard this African pastor saying, he was on the news or something, like he was on some kind of meeting, and he was saying he recently visited the American church, like, you know, the Western side and whatever. He met few leaders, and he started to weep when he started to speak. He's like, you know what? I just really wish they knew Jesus, the leaders of the church. They know a lot about him. But they don't know Jesus on a personal level, which leads to sin, which leads to inconsistency, which leads to not prioritizing the things of God, right? See, in our lives, when we look at church and we look at things, sometimes the culture has forced us to look at the leaders, has forced us to look at the speakers, the fancy clothes, the people who are the loudest, the most talented, the ones who can speak the best, but see, that was never the heart of God. We look in the Old Testament. What does God say? He says that we're so used to looking at Moses, we're too afraid to go to God. When the whole plan all along was so that you and God can commune together. You can know God on a personal level more than ever before. But we're so used to looking at Moses in our lives. We're like, you know what? I'm going to go to my pastor for it. I'm going to talk to this leader, that leader, which is great, but do you have that relationship? See, what we should really be doing, not just listening, but also, listen, I felt this. I was with God and, you know, he was speaking to me, or I felt his presence and, you know, he's given me strength. Now, let me take you to that place. Go to that place. Go up the mountain where you can have a personal relationship with him and move forward, right? And I think that is so needed, especially in evangelism, because that communication with God is so important that if you don't have that, then when you tell others, you can't tell others something you already don't have. You can't tell people, oh, you know, I can't go tell people like, yo, you guys got to go to the gym, you got to do the reps. I'm not going to the gym, you know? It's like, I can't give them something I already am not doing. I can't fake it. And people can see genuinity, right? They can see if this person really spends time with God. They can tell by their action, they can tell by their jokes, how they talk, what do they do, and so on, right? And that's one of the things I really want as the new year comes upon us, that we take our walk with God to another level, and that we help one another together, because we need to encourage one another to go to that side, right? Anyways, verse John 15 talks about being the vine, and that God wants us to produce fruit and abide in him. He wants us to move in a way that we've never before. If you look at great movements of God, right? Around history, around the world. If you look at great movements, what do we see? any type of movement that has to do with Christianity or whatever, Jesus and whatever, what is one thing that we notice? How do these great movements start? A great movement starts when the founder knows Jesus. A great movement starts when a founder knows Jesus like no other. When does a great movement stop? A great movement stops when the followers only know the founder. I'll repeat it one more time. When does a great movement stop? When the followers only know the founder. If we don't have that personal relationship, especially I find that the culture is going to a place where, you know, come just on Sundays and that's enough, and the pastor or the leaders will spread out. But God wants further than that. He wants to know you on a personal level, a deeper level. And that's what's something that we need to strive for, right? When a miracle happens, when a person gets saved, there's a miracle that takes place. I've seen it multiple times when someone actually gives their life to Jesus. So crazy, right? You know, you believe you're right the whole time. You know, like, I don't believe in this stuff, whatever, you know, whatever. I actually noticed a few of my professors in university, it's so crazy. Actually, I heard of one of my sociologist teachers, professors at UFT. He was always mocking me about the Bible and things like that. I just told him I'm a Christian. I have to go early because I have a church service. I don't know why I said that. But anyhow, he was mocking me throughout. He's like, oh, you know, Paul had a concussion, you know, all of the. He's always making jokes. But faith would have it, 5-6 years later, I got an email from him that he's attending church now. And I was like, what? This is like a joke, you know? Like, I'm like, is this April 1st or something? Like, what is happening here? And it's just that I didn't do nothing. I was always on defense. I didn't get an opportunity to speak the gospel or anything. But see, God moves in people. See, what happened was when a person is in that moment where they feel, you know, hurt, broken, and all of that, they're not able to see through it. But when they accept Jesus Christ, the heart of stone becomes flesh. A new spirit is born in them. They want to know more. They want to love. They feel something different. There is a miracle that's taking place from the inside out. And it's so captivating. And you know it. You know when it happens that it is not you. This can only happen because of God. Sometimes when I think about miracles, I think about how babies are, you know, when babies come out and they just take their first breath. It's amazing. When I was doing paramedics and I was learning, I was shadowing people, I saw a lot of these, you know, babies giving birth. In the beginning, people tell me, like, childbirth is a beautiful thing, you know. I was like, yeah. And then I went through a few of them and it's still beautiful because the miracle of life, it's just the whole process is kind of painful, right? But anyhow, I just thought of this one thing where I remember when my wife was giving birth, my mom was praying, right? She was praying really hard and she's like, Lord, I just pray that this is a miracle birth. I was like, what? I'm like, Lord, no. I just want it to be as boring as possible. Like, we don't want any type of complication, nothing. Anyhow, the Lord heard my mom's prayers, unnecessary complications. But sometimes we think we have some kind of ability that God just asks us to move and he'll do it, right? Sometimes we think like there's something we're going to do and that's going to change things. It's us. But really, we are the vessels. We're the people in the potter's hand and he molds us. And the thing is, you're not just one piece or one thing, one whatever. You're always going to be adapting and changing. And that's what God does. As you spend more time with him, he'll change you from the inside out. You're not going to be the same person you are today that you will be tomorrow or the day after, a month from now. If you are, that should be a sign that we got to do something to change, right? And I'm working on myself. There are, for four, so many years, maybe like 10 years, like I felt like I was stagnant in my growth with Christ, that I had enough head knowledge and I knew how to speak Christianese. And I also knew how to, when people say things, you know, just to shout out, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, amen. You know, like, but it's like, that's just a reflex. Am I really doing it? No, right? That's something that I want us to do, right? Like, I want us to move forward and we can do it together, right? See, Jesus actually says something so interesting about spreading the gospel. Actually, in John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus He's about to die. Like, Judas is about to betray him. And these are just a few chapters before. He starts saying things, right? He's like, he's just spitting truths, and, you know, he's just telling. And you hear it. You're like, is that really going to change things? But he goes, I pray that with all of you be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I in you, may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you send me. Wow. God wants us to be one. He doesn't want us to fight. He wants us to have unity in the church. It doesn't say bear, just you know, deal with one another, put with these people. No, he wants us to be one, like the Father and the Son has been one. And I thought to myself, you know, there are times where I get into a quarrel with a brother or sister. I ask for forgiveness, but am I really one with them? The truth is, see, for the gospel to be spread, for it to go further, we have to have unity. They will see the unity and the love that we have here, and they'll know there's something different. What's with these people? Why are they so happy all the time? No one was ever going to say that to me, but it's the unity, it's the bond. And I find that right now, if you're thinking in your heart, like, you know, I have this thing against my brother or sister, and I think today's a good day that we actually come forward and repent so that God can use. What is more important, our little quarrels and our fights, whatever, and I'm sure this person did you wrong or whatever it may be, but God has a greater plan for you. Something even further than that, that he wants to use for the glory of God. He wants us to go further. And I'm not justifying any type of pain, and I'm not belittling it. I know it's deep, but there's nothing that God can do. It is an opportunity for us to come together, be one. Be one as the Father and the Son have been one. Through this, they will know that Jesus was sent from the Father. Through this, because of our unity, because of our love. See, actually, I read this when I was in grade 8, I think geography or history class or something that, so the Romans empire was growing, but they're getting so upset with Christians. And one Roman leader actually sends a letter to another Roman leader, and they're talking about Christians, right? So they go, he writes, I can't handle these Christians. They're infesting. They're growing at a rapid rate. They love the women, children, the slaves. They are together. They're willing to die. No matter what we do, they're just growing. That was the early church. And it was written by another source that was not in the Bible. Christians, what we had from the beginning was unity. Coming together as one in God. One people serving one God. And I find that over the generation, over the years, we want to get back to that. That was always the heart of God. Before Jesus died, he continuously goes on to say, may they be one, Father, as you and I are one. I think that's something that I want us to inspire, to grow, to have that heart, to when we see conflicts, to see, you know what, Lord, it is hurting, but I want to be one with my brothers and sisters, because this is going to help the kingdom of God. This is going to help how we're going to move forward. Philippians 1:27 and 28 says something similar. Paul himself says this. He says, I know that you're standing together with one spirit, with one purpose, fighting together for faith, which is the good news. Do not be intimidated in the ways by your enemies. This will be a sign to them. I just want to read that one part. You're standing together with one spirit, with one purpose. Are we moving forward with one spirit, with one purpose, fighting together for faith? That is our good news. That we were all broken people at one point. We were living in sin. But Jesus died on the cross for us. That is our good news. There's no compromise. The scripture is not saying anything more, anything less, that he died on the cross and we need him for salvation. When we're preaching the gospel, we're really raising the dead. We're really pouring out to, We were dead in our own sins, right? We ourselves were in those moments. So we know. We know how hard it is, how we lived a life that does not glorify God, but we found pleasure in it. We found we were looking for the temporary pleasures and the groups and so on, but that was never the will of God. Sometimes we think, you know, our cleverness. You know what? I'm going to study some of this apologetics, and I'm going to learn some scriptures. I'm going to find out what's wrong with this religion. You know, there's all of this. And then that usually never really brings too much fruit. What really brings fruit, actually, I learned from some of the leaders and stuff, is actually just your personal testimony. What God has done in your life. See, I was actually speaking to Nathan's mom about like a testimony like a few nights before after vision school class, and I was thinking, I was just telling her about like when I was 16 and I was praying for this lady and something happened and all of this. And then I thought, I'm like, wow, that was 16 years ago. Or yeah, it was about around 16 years ago. And I just thought, I'm like, how come I don't have more stories like that? What changed? Is it God? No, my heart has changed. I all of a sudden stopped believing my God is able. I stopped believing in miracles. I stopped believing because I just don't know if it's a norm. I thought like, well, what my friends will think. I don't know if I can pray for the sick and something will happen. Oh, it's going to be so embarrassing. They're going to look at me weird. But the truth is, things are happening. Our God is still moving. He is alive today. He's still moving and he's still pushing. He doesn't need us. But the fact that when we move forward, he is coming there with us. Right? And I'm so passionate about this subject. I love everything about evangelism. I love just the idea because I know what God did in my life. See, I know Michael Bala always speaks to his friends and, you know, all of that because he understands what God has done in his life. I know many of us here who share the gospel, we know that sometimes even though people look at us different and so on, and God is working through us, but it is just such a joy. And see, when men and women of God come together for one purpose, God is going to do something. God is able to move. We can accomplish so much more. Scripture is so clear. One can take 1,000, two can take what? Okay, nobody read that part. 10,000. But see, actually, I was reading 1 Peter, and it was so interesting. And so it talks about us as the living stones. I was like, what? It's the living stones that's connected to the apostles before us, and that we're building stone by stone, brick by brick, and we create the temple of God. I was like, whoa, me? I'm part of this? It's like, and I had to just reread it. I'm like, Lord, I am not worthy of any of this. I'm not worthy of all of this. You know, I'm probably the worst. And, you know, and I just think about it. I'm like, what an honor it is. But what if I was like, you know what? As I'm building this temple of God, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stand a little bit to the side because that's what I do, you know. That's how I do my thing. No, the building is going to be unstable. If we all decide to move side to side, do our own thing, then there's no strong structure. There's no growth. There's no, what is it built on? It's going to be weak. But when we come together with strong foundation, with one purpose, one goal, fighting together for the good news of God, wow, there's something happening. There's a movement. There's a foundation that's being built. There's a church. There's a temple that is being built for all eternity. The ones before us, the one after us, our kids to our forefathers. We become one. And I believe personal evangelism is so important. See, it is the future of the church. It relies on the average person sharing the gospel. Sorry. I think I made some noise. Personal evangelism is so important that when you read the history of church and how the church growth is, the house movement and all of that, when you look at it, When a person doesn't share the gospel, which is happening in the Western side of the world where, you know, I have my life, I'm just going to do my own thing, this is my faith, I don't want to interfere, and so on. When that happens, the growth of church stops. It is so important that we share the gospel, because without that, the church will die. I want each of us to have the same fire that the early church had, the same joy, the same purpose in moving forward. As Kenny comes forward to shut me down, I'm going to wrap it up. Nabil Qureshi once said this, when we're asking about why we don't evangelize. He said that Nabil Qureshi is a former Muslim. He became a Christian, and he was apologetics. He was part of many groups and so on. He wrote a lot of books. Actually, I know a few of my Muslim friends who converted to Christianity because of his book, which, you know, is incredible. I didn't realize how powerful it was. And he said one thing. I was a Muslim living among Christian for many years, for up to 30. Only two or three people told me about Jesus. It shows two things. One of two things why you're not sharing the gospel. First, he said that it's because you yourself don't believe that Jesus is the only way to Jesus Christ. I mean, only way to salvation, the only way to heaven. You yourself don't believe that. Second truth, that was a hard one to hear. You just don't care. You don't care if your brothers or your sisters or your friends, they go to hell or, you know, they suffer. They never get to know the truth, the experience that you felt. See, if you have a terminal illness and you know that you have the cure to it and you were saved by it, wouldn't you be so happy to give it to someone else that you know is going through the same thing, that is suffering? And that those words, many years ago when I read it, it was so convicting. And I really prayed, sometimes, Lord, help me to be able to love them more than my fear of their rejection. And I felt in the scriptures, there's like a 99% chance you will get rejected. So let's just stop worrying about if I'm going to get rejected or not. There's a 99% chance you'll get rejected. But that 1%, let's call that a miracle. Let's call that planting a seed. Let's call that doing the vision of God to move forward, to spread the gospel. There's so many evangelists among us. And there's so much we can learn from among one another, their experiences, each other's testimony. A lot of the things that I say when I preach, when I try to share the gospel is actually not even my own testimony. I try to share about what others are going through. We need one another. We want to know what God is doing in our brothers and sisters' life, and we want to create that unity. As I wrap it up, this is my last point, which is we have to abide in God so much that we bear good fruit. And apart from Him, we can't do anything. But through Him, we can do it. Let us be people who seek after God and not after Moses, not after the next message, not after the preaching, but really know the heart of God and know Him on a deeper level. Let us be united to accomplish more things for the kingdom of God. And I know we can. It doesn't take that much more effort. If we push a little harder, I think we can do it. Let us be the living stones that God really intended for us to be united and to build from one another, strengthening one another in this structure. Lastly, I just want to encourage you guys to spread the gospel in whatever way you can. Let it be the little. See, I'm not talking about going into the street and screaming out or anything like that. The greatest evangelism happens with your own life when people see Jesus in you. When people see a difference in you, they're like, why is this guy like this? You know, like, but he's so happy, he's so content, he's not like that. That is the greatest truth. People want to listen to you. Most of the conversions are, you know, when people receive Jesus, when they can trust you, when they know, like, this is my friend and I trust him. And he's sharing the gospel. It's usually not with strangers, but, you know, not everyone can go to the corners of the world, but I encourage you to do so if you can. What a great honor to be part of the extension of the book of Acts. Or, as you are here, see, so many are gathered. I heard a story about a kid from the Middle East who came to Canada, and he had two suitcases full of luggage to just give to people who invite him home. And after his four semesters or whatever, he went back to Middle East with the two suitcases full of gifts because not one person invited him over. We have the whole nation right in Toronto, right in Canada. Our neighbors, our brothers, sisters, people we work with. My plea and my pray is that God will muster up that little courage. I usually never have courage. I just pray for 3 seconds of courage. That's how I ask my wife out. I just say, Lord, just give me the strength just to say it. I'm just going to say it. And then whatever happens, happens. And I'm telling you guys, it's not always rejection. With that, I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We love you, Lord. We love you more than anything. We know what you've done on the cross for us and that we are not worthy, but by your love we stand today. Lord God, let us be able to abide in you, O Lord, and bear good fruit. Let us be united as one, Father God, for one vision, one cause, one fight, O Lord. I pray as people who are listening to my voice right now, O Lord, that will be given courage, like in the time of Pentecostal, O God. Holy Spirit came upon them and they were able to move forward, O God, to know you on a deeper level and just to spread the gospel, O Father. Lord, my favorite story in all of this is that woman at the well, O Lord, where she found true happiness. She couldn't contain it. She ran to the village and just started to preach, started to spread of the good news of the Messiah is here, O Lord. Father God, I just pray that let us have that urgency, that fervency, O God, to be able to go speak the gospel. And we know that we're not perfect, but as Paul said, O Lord, in our weaknesses, your strength is made known, O Lord, so that I boast in my weaknesses. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for today, and I pray a blessing upon my family. And everyone here, oh God, I just pray in this church family here, oh God, that you will use each and every single one of us, oh Lord. Let us not just be Sunday Christians, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.